Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest the Republican leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, North Smithfield Representative Brian Newberry. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, everyone.
Governor Gina Raimondo has made a series of changes at the State Department of Transportation since taking office. The governor's office points to how Rhode Island has the worst bridges in the nation, and DOT does have what some critics might consider an outdated culture in need of modernization. Yet some critics say the administration hasn't been transparent enough about changes at the transportation agency. What do you say, Brian Newberry?
Well, you know, I come from a different perspective on this because in my private legal practice, I deal with DOT a lot. And I've thought for a long time that substantial changes were needed there, not any one person, but just the culture, as you put it. So to the extent the governor is trying to change the culture, I wish her luck. Changing bureaucracies is not easy. Time will tell if it's successful or not, but it certainly needs to be done.
Scott, you've been watching state politics for a long time. Are there problems in the culture at DOT, and what would your recipe be for changing those?
Well, I think the governor's trying to do her best. Like Brian says, look, a bureaucracy, it's kind of like trying to turn around an ocean liner in its berth. It's very, very difficult. People are entrenched. The system rewards seniority and being there for a long time. It's not like a private business culture where people leave and go on to better jobs. They tend to stay there for 20, 25 years to get their pension and do their thing. So you have a real clot of bureaucracy. And I think it would be great if there could be some fresh air in the building, maybe some fresh personnel. On the other side, I'm not concerned about the transparency at this point. I think that Brian, Leader Newberry here, and his colleagues are going to demand in the House full transparency before they approve any tolling plan.
Well, we're going to get into that, but first let's go to Maureen. And what is your take on the recent headlines about DOT?
Well, I kind of agree with both, you know, Scott and Leader Newberry. I do think that the governor has made it very clear from the very beginning when she immediately dispatched the last director of DOT. She put new people in place. She's put people on suspension. We've moved people around in other jobs because of pensions and there are certain liabilities. But I do think it takes a while. I think a robust attempt to deal with these things is absolutely essential, as she's done in other cases. And again, in terms of some of the lack of transparency, in terms of the federal requirements, this is very complicated. And also, it is fair to say that in terms of responding to some of their questions, they really didn't know what the answers were because the policy was still evolving. And I don't think that's a kind of unforgivable thing. I think they were trying to work out compromise with interest groups, so they really didn't have a lot of concrete answers.
We're going to go to some panel questions for our guest, House Minority Leader Brian Newberry. A leader, we saw how the state Senate overwhelmingly passed the governor's truck toll plan before recessing earlier this year. This was without knowing where truck tolls will be or how much they will be. And if this plan does go forward, the state DOT presumably will have a lot of discretion over those questions. So do you plan to support the governor's truck toll plan if there is a fall House session?
Well, a couple of things. First, I did see the super secret plan of the locations. It was put up in the finance chairman's office. I think someone from one of the news outlets caught a picture of it. I was surprised the Senate passed as quickly as they did. No, I don't plan to support the plan. If it comes, I don't think we're going to have a full session either. I mean, I don't know that for certain, but I don't think we're going to.
And why would you not support it?
The tolling plan is interesting. It's got a history in this state. We only have limited time. But the reason we had the whole Saconnet River Bridge toll fiasco in the first place was because DOT wanted to put a toll on 95 in Hopkinton. And if you study this issue from an engineering perspective, the only logical place, if you're going to put a toll at all, to put a toll is in Hopkinton. The governor's plan is to try to get around the fact that we can't do that and to try to work within the confines of federal law. So it's kind of like this Rube Goldberg-like contraption. It doesn't make any sense. I know why she put it forward. And if it's get the conversation started about what to do with the bridges, that's fine. But no one's going to believe the General Assembly if we say we're not going to turn that into car tolls. I don't think we will, because I think engineering-wise it won't work. But no one's going to believe me when I say that. And so I'm not going to support something that's going to possibly cost the trucking industry and lead to gantries all over the state. It's absurd.
Let's go to a question from Maureen.
Lita Newberry, I mean, there was a remarkable session at the last term in the sense that it was almost a love fest. In other words, for a lot of the Republicans, they got what they wanted in the budget. I think Speaker Mattiello co-opted some members. And so you didn't really have a robust, loyal opposition. What do you see coming down the road in terms of the next session? And generally speaking for Republicans, we need a two-party system. What's happening, and how are you, as member of the leadership, going to respond?
Well, you know, next session will be different because, for one thing, it's an election year, and that's just a fact. It tends to make things a little more rocky in terms of relations. But the truth of the matter is, the reason there wasn't a, I wouldn't call it a love fest, but the reality is, given the numbers that we had, we pretty much were able to maximize our influence to get some things done. So given that, I was happy about that. Next year, we'll see how next year goes. We'll see what's in the budget. I mean, depends on what's out there. You know, you got the whole Pawsox Stadium thing hanging out there. That's something where there's certainly, actually, I don't know anybody that supports the Pawsox Stadium. But if it comes to a vote, I can guarantee you won't be seeing Republicans support that. You've got this tolling proposal, which may come forward. So there may be some other issues that blow up. This past session, we didn't have a lot of issues that came to a vote that sparked problems.
HealthSource Rhode Island's out with some new data today that shows that since 2012, the uninsured rate is down from 11% to 5%. That, of course, is Rhode Island's Obamacare Health Exchange site. Do you think this has been a success?
I saw the data you're referencing. I just saw a mention of it, but I don't know. I know nationally that a huge percentage of the people that signed up for the state and federal exchanges nationally stopped paying and have dropped out. So the question I would have is that 5% going to be maintained or not? And as I've always said, you know, certain people are going to benefit from Obamacare health sources, no doubt about that. The question is always at what cost. So 5% is better than 11%, but what kind of money have we spent to get there? Those are the questions, really.
Most of the documents related to the state's lawsuit over 38 studios are expected to be released late next week or the week after that. Next week, the judge overseeing the case will hear arguments on whether to keep confidential some of the documents. If some documents are kept confidential, Brian Newberry, do you think that will take away from the effort to understand 38 studios? And as a lawyer, do you see any rationale for keeping some of these documents confidential?
Let me try to keep my answer brief and confines of time. Typically in civil lawsuits, depositions, and that's really what we're talking about here. That's what people want to see. They want to see the testimony under oath. Typically, depositions are not part of the public record. Typically, the lawyers keep them in their offices, and that's how things usually go. That doesn't mean a litigant can't voluntarily release the depositions to the public. And in this case, the state is the party. So the state can always give out the depositions and release them if they want to, unless there's an order in place. I can't see any justification at the present time, and I can't imagine what the justification is besides some people wanting to prevent embarrassment for not releasing all the documents.
Scott, what do you think about this issue of possibly keeping some of the 38 studios documents under seal?
I think what Leader Newberry said makes an awful lot of sense. I also think you have to understand that the reason for this lawsuit, I think it was one of the smartest things Link Chafee ever did, was try to recover some of this money from this ridiculous deal. And really what we're doing here, this case is to try to get some of the taxpayers' money back. And that's really what this is all about. It's not about a witch hunt, I'll hope, or pointing fingers. It's about trying to recover millions and millions of dollars so that we can spend that money on bridges or education or give it back to the taxpayers, whatever.
And the last word here to Maureen.
Well, I do hope that it doesn't turn into a witch hunt, because the talk about subpoenas and getting involved in the legislature would only complicate this, and I don't think it would serve anyone's purpose, because the idea is to recover from what was a frivolous activity and get as much many resources as we can back.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And House Minority Leader Brian Newberry of North Smithfield.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.